It's our custom to hear God's word in our afternoon services, also following the teaching and the confession which we have in the Heidelberg Catechism. We are currently going through here in Mandajong the third part of the Catechism, which deals with our thankfulness for the salvation which is given to us in Christ alone. And we're also learning then of how prayer is also how we are to show our thankfulness to Him. And we're going through at the moment an explanation of the various petitions or requests in the Lord's Prayer. And I've been asked to proclaim God's word to you concerning what we believe about the third petition, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In that connection, I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to two passages of Scripture from the Old Testament. We will read together from Psalm 119, what we just sang, Psalm 119, verse 129 to 136, that is in our Bibles. And then after that, from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18. First of all then, Psalm 119, beginning at verse 129. This is the word of the Lord. Your testimonies are wonderful, and therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps for your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. We now turn to the New Testament and to Luke chapter 18. We read Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Luke 18, verse 1, then he, our Lord Jesus Christ, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So, Father, reading from God's holy word. Let's now turn to our book of praise again, to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49, page 562, page 562 in your book of praise. Question 124. What is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the point of prayer requests? What are we asking God to do when we pray for the things that are weighing heavily upon us? Are we asking him to do something that he had no previous intention of doing, that hadn't actually crossed his mind? Are we asking God to change his mind? Are we badgering him, even annoying him, until we bend his will to ours? Is that what we're doing through prayer? No, that cannot be right. The Lord instructs us to pray, "Your will be done, not mine." But if we are to pray, "Your will be done," what are we to make of this parable we just read from Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8? If God's will is going to be done anyway, what's the point of being like this persistent widow who kept on crying until justice would be done? And another thing, if it is God's will that will happen anyway, why bother with prayer? Why should you let your requests and petitions be made known to God? What's the point? Would it perhaps be better, even more godly, to simply entrust yourself to your faithful Creator and give up on praying for things altogether? Well, this afternoon we're going to consider these questions as we direct our attention to the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done." I proclaim God's word to you under this theme: may God's will, not mine, be done. May God's will, not mine, be done. 2 points. First, the question, mixed messages. And second, a statement, harmonious wills. So first of all then, the question, are we getting mixed messages? Well, what does the Bible really teach us about prayer requests? What is the Bible really saying about how we should pray and what we can expect from our prayers? Well, it seems as though the Bible gives mixed messages. Take Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, for example. The Lord Jesus gave this parable. Verse 1 says, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Keep praying, God tells us. Don't give up. Pray again and again and again. But then there's Matthew chapter 6. Just before our Lord Jesus Christ gives the Lord's Prayer, he says this in Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8, and I'll just read this. He said, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." So what is it now? Should we keep on praying and not lose heart? Or do we say, God knows what I need. I trust that God will give me what I need. And so there's no point in bringing something to him again. Is it even a sign of unbelief if you're going to pray for the same thing more than once? But now let's dig a little bit deeper into all of this. Will God give us whatever we ask for in prayer, or will he not? Well, how does the Bible answer that question? Well, once again, it seems as if the Bible seems to teach us two different things. On the one hand, there are these Bible texts that indicate that God will give you whatever you ask for, but on the other hand, the Bible also commands us to pray, "Not my will be done, but yours." Which may lead us to conclude that, yes, God will give you whatever you ask of him, but only if it's what he planned to do all along. And so what is it then? What is it that God is saying? Well, let's have a look at that together. I'm going to turn to a number of Bible verses. First of all, the promise that God will give us whatever we ask for. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. We'll need to go through this fairly quickly. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. After that, I'll go to John 15 and then 1 John 3. Matthew 7, verse 7, this is what our Lord says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, that you'll give him a stone? Verse 10, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to good things to those who ask him? There's the promise God will give us, whatever we ask for. John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And then he says this, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. We'll do one more for now. The first letter of John, 1 John, right towards the end of your Bibles, 1 John chapter 3. John 3:21-23. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You can go to 1 John chapter 5, we'll be speaking about that soon as well. But these Bible verses we've read so far, and a number of others like them, and I could include John 14:12-14, John 16:21-24, these command us to pray to God and to make our request known to him. And they give the promise that God will hear and that God will do what we ask of him. The prayer of a righteous man, we know, has great power in its effect, and God will answer us when we cry out to him. But now have a look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. 1 John 5, verse 13 to 15. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know and have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Would you notice here in 1 John chapter 5, there's something extra. We have something extra here. God hears us if we ask anything, it says, according to his will. So here's a qualification. This qualifies what God will or will not do. If it is according to his will, he will do it. And if it is not according to his will, his answer will be no. And it's in accordance with this understanding that we often pray to the Lord, if it is according to your will, please grant healing, please grant safe travels, a success in a job application, or whatever it is we're asking from God. And we know, both from examples in Scripture, as well as personal experience, that God does not always give us the things that we ask for. An example in the Bible again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, where God does not give what is asked for, is with respect to the Apostle Paul. He's got this thorn in his flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, where it says here, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing that I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So here, three times, Paul is praying to God that he would take whatever this thorn is from him, and God says no. Now, in this case, Paul learns something of God's reasons as to why God does not indeed do what Paul asks of him. But the fact of the matter is that Paul prayed and that he pleaded for something three times, and God said no. And of course, the most famous example of all is our Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Jesus prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." It's Luke 22, verse 42. We know God was not willing. The cup was not removed, and Christ went on to suffer in accordance with God's will. But therein lies the problem. The very person, Jesus Christ, who told his disciples, "Ask and it will be given to you. Ask the Father for the cup of suffering to be removed." But God the Father said no. What's going on here? Is God being inconsistent with what he says and what he does? Is he giving mixed messages? And is this "your will be done"? Is he using this as something of an escape clause? Well, one way, a right way to answer this question is to point out that the Bible speaks about the will of God in different ways and at different times. In keeping with this, we speak about God's will in two different ways, and we speak about the secret will of God and the revealed will of God. It's important we understand that difference. The secret will of God are those things that God, in his unfathomable wisdom, he has willed for those things to happen. That includes the time and the nature of your death, and the many, many things that God in his providence, that in God's providence, happen to us every day again. These secret things, that's what Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 calls it, these secret things belong to God. They belong to the Lord. But with respect to these things, we do indeed entrust ourselves to our faithful Creator. The other way the Bible speaks about the will of God is his revealed will. And that is how he has commanded us to live. And when it comes to the third petition, "Your will be done," Lord, that's 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that we are particularly to consider this petition, "Your will be done," in that context, the context of God's revealed will. You can see how it's explained here. "Grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good." Now, this is true. And we know that this is the right way to understand the third petition, "Your will be done," because we are to add to the words, "on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, just as God's will is done by his faithful angels in heaven, so we pray that God may be honored and he may be obeyed here on earth. Now, this is really important for us to understand this distinction between God's revealed will and his secret will. So we need to understand that first. But it doesn't fully answer the question about mixed messages. How do we make our prayers and requests made known to God? And what does it mean that he will answer them according to his will? Well, in order then to find some further answer to this question, we need to go back then to Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8, which we read together. We read together for about this parable, persistent widow, a parable that Jesus gave, and it says here in verse 1, "That men might always ought to pray and not lose heart. Christ gave us this parable to encourage us to pray for all things at all times. But in its context, this parable especially calls us to pray for the coming of God's kingdom. Now, we know that because just before this parable in chapter 17, the Lord was describing what the coming of the kingdom would be like. And at the end of the parable, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?" And so the context of Luke chapter 18 is our yearning and a longing for the return of Jesus Christ. And the waiting is long. It's easy for us to become discouraged. But Christ says, press on and earnestly pray and be sure that God will answer this prayer. And to demonstrate that God will give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night, the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, verse 7, as he said in Luke chapter 18, verse 7, Christ gave this parable of a persistent widow and an unjust judge. The widow, she cried out to the judge for justice. She had every right to do this. The Old Testament too makes it clear that the widow was a very vulnerable person. It was the responsibility of everyone else to ensure that she would be cared for and that her rights would not be taken away. But the judge was unjust. He was ungracious, he was unloving, he was unmerciful, he was ungodly. And so the judge had no interest in ensuring justice for the poor widow. He would never have listened to her. He would never have listened to her pleas, except for the fact that she kept on asking. And because she was so persistent, he said here in verse 4 and 5, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And by avenge, it means, you know, to vindicate her, to do what she's asking for. Now, the point of the parable is this: God is not like the unjust judge. To the contrary, God is just and he is loving. But if even an unjust judge will listen to a helpless widow when she persistently comes to him, Luke 18 verse 7 says, well then surely our Heavenly Father will hear us when we cry to him. No matter how long it takes, therefore, never conclude that God doesn't hear you. Never conclude that he's not interested in your prayers, he's not interested in hearing from you. He does hear you. And he does answer your prayers. And he will answer them not because you are heaping up empty words, but he'll answer them because he is your father and you are his child. And unlike that unjust judge, he wants to hear from you because he loves you and he has that covenantal relationship with you. So that's the first thing to understand. The second thing to understand is that our prayers do have an effect. God does hear them, and he does answer them. We read before from 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5 is 15, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Another verse is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I'll just read that to you. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers." And there are many, many other examples in the Bible where the Lord answered prayer, granting the thing that was being asked for. You can see this in the book of Daniel. Also with, before that even, Hannah receiving Samuel after praying to God for a son. New Testament, Zechariah. Luke chapter 1, being told that God had heard his prayers. He and Elizabeth would have a son, John the Baptist. And it's not as though God gave them these things in spite of the prayers of his people, but he gave them through their prayers. It's in this way, James 5 verse 16 says, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means God is pleased to work in and through our prayers. He does listen. He does act. And he is often pleased to grant us the things that we earnestly pray for. And yet, at the same time, we pray, your will be done. At the same time, we pray that God does not do what we think is right. He does not do what we think is best. But we pray that God might do that which pleases him. Because we know that ultimately that is right and good. And therefore, in our prayers, we are not trying to bend God to do our will. But in our prayers, even as we plead for those things that we so desperately want, we are praying that God might bend our wills to his. And that brings us to our second point, harmonious wills. So what we've learned so far is that the Lord does command us to pray. He does want us to bring our requests and our petitions to him. He does promise to answer. He's pleased to give us what we request. But God is not some sort of a vending machine where if you push the right buttons, he's going to give us whatever we want. And also, he will not always give us exactly the things that we do want in the way that we think is best. But he would do that for us, which is according to his will. But this is not an escape clause for God. Rather than consider this to be an escape clause, see this as a care clause. It's not an escape clause, it is a care clause, C-A-R-E. Where God promises to ensure that nothing shall separate us from his love. And so in our praying, even as we pour out our hearts to him and beg for his help and his blessing, we are not praying that God will align himself more and more with our wills, but we are praying that we might align ourselves more and more to his will. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. And that's why he was pleased to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours. And indeed, throughout the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read how Christ submitted himself to the Father's will. I have a few Bible verses here, but go through them quickly. John 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Hebrews 10, verse 7, then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. The will of Christ, therefore, was perfectly conformed to the will of God the Father. And therefore, we who are in Christ must pray that our will also might be conformed more and more to God's will. Lord Jesus Christ, who said this in Matthew 7, verse 21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew 12, 50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and my sister, my mother. Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And the last one, 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And so we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because we want to do God's will. And indeed, as we confess in Lord's Day 49, we will be praying, grant that we may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. And in that way, our will and our desires will increasingly be in harmony with God's will and with his desires. And the more that happens, the more our prayers will be focused on the things that are pleasing to Him. And then our temporal, time-bound joys and the comforts and the delights of this life will fade as our desire for the fullness of a life in Christ, our desire for living before the Father and for doing His will, these become our greatest desire. And so our prayers begin to change, and the focus of our prayers begin to change. And that then brings us to our reading from Psalm 119. Because the whole focus of Psalm 119 is on God and on the joy of obeying His commands. Psalm 119, it's a longing to do the will of God. Just a few verses here. Verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Verse 135 of Psalm 119. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. And the psalm writer, he prays for his own circumstances, but he prays for those things not for his own comfort and pleasure in the first place, but so that he might be drawn closer to God. Psalm 119, verse 134. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. And see, this is what the psalm writer is longing for, that God's will might be done, that His law might be obeyed. And he wants this not just for himself, but he wants it for all men. And indeed, that's what we are praying for as well when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, Isaiah 49 puts it, grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will. And when our will is in harmony with God's will, then it grieves us when God's will is not done. Psalm 119, verse 136. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Something else that we are learning with respect to the prayer, your will be done, therefore, is that we pray in the context of hallowed be your name. We want God's name to be hallowed, to be honored, and to be praised. And we pray it in the context of your kingdom come. We want God's kingdom to extend throughout this world. We pray that God might destroy the works of the devil. We pray that the fullness of God's kingdom might come. These are the things that consume us, so to speak. These are the things that govern us. These are the things that are to motivate us in our prayers and in our desire that God's will might be done. And that's the context in which we pray. And that's the context in which Christ promises us that if we ask anything in His name, He will do it. You see, God's not like this unjust judge who only grudgingly gave justice to the widow because of her persistency. But rather, our God is eager to hear us. He will respond to us and He will answer us. And therefore Christ urges us in Luke chapter 18 to keep on praying and trusting that God will hear us. But the Lord Jesus ended His parable in Luke chapter 18 verse 8 with this question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth? You see, the question is not, will God hear us? And the question is not, why doesn't He answer us sooner? But the question is, but do you believe? Do you trust God? Do you persistently come to Him in prayer and in faith? Our God is a just God. He is wise, He is loving, He hears us when we pray, and He will answer us in the best way and at His best time. And therefore, do keep praying. Be persistent in your prayers, believing that God does hear and He does answer. But do remember also to pray, "Your will be done," in faith and trusting that God's will alone is good. And then pray that your will and your desires might grow closer and closer to God's will and to His desires, where the things that He desires and the things that God delights in become more and more the things that you desire and the things that you take delight in. And then God will hear you, and He will guide you, and He will lead you until the day when His will and your will be one. Amen.